Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Good to be with you here today. Beautiful day. We're going to have a beautiful week this week. Announcements. We had announced a business meeting for this coming Wednesday night. As far as I know, we can plan for that. I think we had told at least once at the school board meeting. Lamar's grandma is quite low. I think it's real recently, but other than she's basically still in a coma, so the expectation is that funeral here soon, and that may affect the activities of this week. Another thing that we should probably get on the radar, Easter Sunday is the 5th of April this year, so I would be thinking towards having communion on that Sunday. But we don't have to, we can discuss that, but just to get it on our radar, it's coming right up here. Is there anything else that needs to be announced this morning? All right, if not, we'll go into the message here this morning. About a week or so ago, maybe slightly longer, I had gone up to the Table Rock to hike that trail. I like to do that, Upper Table Rock. When I pulled in there, I just remember thinking there was a number of vehicles there. I couldn't really have told you how many. I was probably listening to something and I was busy and trying to set my timer, see how fast it took me to get up and down. And so I was busy doing things. And I got back down, and when I got back down, I got in my pickup. I noticed kind of a few people milling around there, and I was sitting there in my pickup, kind of organizing some things, and sitting there with my door open, and here a young lady walked up to me and said, wondered, did you notice anybody here when you pulled in? Well, here someone had shattered the glass on the side of her car and stolen her backpack and stuff out. School stuff in it. I don't think it was anything terribly valuable. The window was probably worth more than what they stole. But she asked me if I noticed anything, and I didn't. There may have been people there when I pulled in. Maybe there was particular vehicles. Maybe there were shady characters. It's possible that they were there. But I simply didn't notice. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't see whether someone was there that looked like they were in trouble or not. What do you notice in life? The title I came up with this morning, the things that I didn't notice, And of course, I want to think of this in a spiritual sense. But in life, there's things that we notice, things that are important to us. I think for each of us, it's probably different what we notice. And probably, for most of us, what we notice are the things that are important to us. You ever think about that? How many of you noticed this morning on the way in here if some of the fields were fertilized or not? I did. Anybody else? Nobody noticed. I mean, they're big fields. It was obvious. Well, I noticed too. I noticed someone worked. They had fertilizer. How many of you noticed the weather for this coming week that you checked? Important to you. A few more of us. As a farmer, it's just habitual. What's the weather going to do? Because it matters. People sometimes would like to get a job where the weather doesn't matter. If it rains, fine. Sunshine's fine. If snow's fine. It won't affect my life in any way. I'll just go on with my day, no matter the weather. It would be amazing. That'd be so freeing for me. The weather is something that I... So you notice the things that are important to you. I remember... Lamar's not here today, so I can talk about him, but I'll talk to him. Him and I both take this trip up to the Willamette Valley. And, I know there's trucks on the road. I know there's vehicles. I could confirm there's traffic on the way up there and back. But if you were to ask me about a particular truck that often travels that road, I would not be able to tell you. But Lamar, on the other hand, yeah, I saw that truck. You know, that guy's always here. In fact, he knows his destination, likely who he's hauling for, and just a lot about this stuff. You know, there's something that is important to him. He notices it. We notice things. One more story. I remember a man I went to school with in my grade in school, and this was a young man who was very interested in tractors and vehicles and equipment and stuff. And I just remember being astounded one about the depth of his knowledge when it came to vehicles to pickups, especially depth of his knowledge. He could go back decades and tell you something about the style of the pickup and the headlight. I remember him telling me, you know, this was old vehicles. Maybe 20. That particular one is different than this one, and that was the year 1987 or 1978. I can't remember which. And he can tell by the shape of those headlights. You know, I said, it didn't matter to me. Didn't matter to me, you know. But for him, it was important, and he could tell that. And I suppose we can feel those things in our lives. Maybe get in trouble for the things we don't. Makes a new dress and she walks in and nobody notices. You know, you ought to notice because you ought to care. So that's the next thing. Is what do we notice kind of indicates what we care about. What we do notice and we discover if we care about the right things, right? What did you notice? So I've got 4 or 5 points here today that I would look at, like to look at, the things that I didn't. These were spiritual things. And I don't know, I don't have these maybe great order. I don't know why these are the ones that came to me, but maybe this is what came to me as I thought about these different things. You remember the story of Joseph. His coat of many colors. Who made his coat? Made that code and answer. Excuse me. Israel. Okay, that's another name for Leah. So his dad made that code. Dad made that code. You know, there's another person in the Bible, and you can turn to Acts 9:39. Another person who was known for making some of that code of many colors represented for Jacob or Israel, his son, Joseph, this special thing that he went out of his way to make something important for him. In Acts chapter 9, verse 39 here, this is the story about, I'll just read verses 36 to 43. Now there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter rose and went with them. When he came, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called, the saints and widows presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa. Simon. The point I wanted to make here is this lady and the point I want to talk about, did you notice, the things I didn't notice, did you notice the consistency and sacrifice of the faithful? Did you notice the consistency and the sacrifice of the faithful? The sacrifice of those who cared. And here the story is this lady died. When they were faced with that reality, she was gone. And her contribution to their lives was over. Nothing more that she could do. You know, the end of life, and as they look back across her life, they brought all these things that she had made, little things. Oh, what were they? The coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And so here's a person who, I don't know if this was her job, I guess we can't tell that for sure, but it seemed like it was something that they tied to her, something that was of value. Here was a person who, with her life, her energy, her days, contributed something that was of value to them, faith, that mattered to them. Her faithfulness, her consistency, brought inspiration. The little things that they did, little things that they did for others. So the question for us is, did we notice? Did we notice the sacrifice and care and keeping the things that others did for us? If you think about that, did you notice? Did I say something about it? Did I value it? Was it of worth to me what someone else did? And I would say this: if you have not been inspired by the sacrifice and consistency of someone faithful around you, it's not because they weren't there, or that it wasn't inspiring, or it wasn't that it was of no value. If you didn't notice, if you have not been inspired, it was because it wasn't important to you. It wasn't important enough to you to notice that they were consistent and sacrificial. Did you notice? Did you notice the growth and spiritual maturity of those around you? Did you notice that they were growing in their faithfulness, that the contributions they had, the words that they gave, their humility, or their maybe their expression of maturity, their expression of Bible knowledge, their growing wisdom? Did you notice? Did it matter to you? Because if you didn't notice the change in someone else, didn't notice the difference, didn't notice the growing of consistency and sacrifice, it's an indication that these things are not important to you. You didn't notice because you didn't care. And that's a little bit like me and those Ford pickups from the 70s. I didn't notice because I don't care. It's not important to me. It didn't matter how those headlights looked. Did you notice the consistency of the faithful around you? The little things that they did. The thing, remember the title of this message is The Things That I Didn't Notice. You know, and as I look back across my life, there are people who, how would I say it, who have gained in value to me, gained in my appreciation. They have a growing status in my estimation. Not so much because they've changed, that they've done something different than they have, but because I have a growing value for consistency and sacrificial living. All right, the second point I had here is in the things I didn't notice, and this one is more of a warning, the things I didn't notice. And we could put it different ways here. The growing darkness, my growing weakness, you know, that's the idea. And I would like to turn to Judges chapter 16 for this one. And this is the story of Samson. And the verse that I would like to key in on said, Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And this, we know the story here, the story of Samson, as he played with his strength and Delilah there, and she was out to get him, trying to destroy him. And Samson was used to his strength. He was used to his ability to overcome, used to his being able to take on the enemies. And verse 19 here says, she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And I'll stop there. And you know that the story goes on, a terrible story about how they took him and put out his eyes and made him grind there at the mill. And so Samson ended up in a place that he was destroyed. His life was changed forever. He had fallen. It had gotten away from him. His confidence, his strength, what he thought he could lean into, was suddenly gone. And in its place was darkness and blindness and loss. But the point that the thing that he didn't notice here that I wanted to, he wist not, it says, that the Lord was departed from him. And as he went on with his life, making his decisions, there came a time when God was no longer with him. God wasn't there to help him. God, you know, I suppose, what was that like from God's perspective? God, who had given him this strength, who had empowered him and helped him to be tremendously victorious over the Philistines and all of that. Suddenly, finally, God saw his disobedience and his playing with sin and withdrew his power from him to be an overcomer. Another story that we could look at kind of down the similar line is in Matthew 25 and verse 8. This is the story of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And I won't read the story, but we know the story how that there they were, and everybody had a lamp. Everybody had oil. And the lamps were burning. But what they didn't notice is that they were running out of oil, those 5 foolish. They didn't notice. They didn't see. They weren't aware that as they were going on in life, living for God, with their light burning, but something was fading. Something was becoming less important to them. Something was going out of their life, that stamina, the spiritual strength they had to get through hard times was going. The victories that they had in the past, if you will, the strength they had, somehow that thing was fading. And suddenly they didn't have the strength. They didn't have the oil, and they got into a situation in life that they didn't have the answers for. They couldn't lean on somebody else to make it up for them. They couldn't fix it, and there they were, out of oil in time of desperate need. Didn't have answers because they were growing cold. They were growing dark. And we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school about just the idea that we're one or the other. Either we are fading and losing and growing colder and having less oil and less good spiritual insight and answers, or else we're gaining. It's one of the two. We don't have the ability to just stay stagnant, is what they thought they were doing. My lamp is here, I'm just beside all the rest. My lamp is burning, but their oil was fading. The growing darkness in their life, the growing spiritual darkness. Did we notice? What were some things that we can kind of key in on, of kind of a growing of carelessness in our own lives? Well, Samson, obviously, a tremendous example, that story of temptation and his willingness to play with it, just interact with it, go back to her again, try this again, and somehow thought that he was going to have the stamina and strength to overcome. And there's tremendous temptation in the world in which we live. And we just need to remember just the starkness there, that we're either growing or standing and being against it and pushing back on these temptations, or else we're succumbing and allowing them to be part of our lives. Another thing that I think that we could look at that is a time or a sense or a indication of growing darkness in our lives is we didn't notice the offense that we caused, or it didn't matter to us. You think about that? The offense that we caused, it didn't matter to you. You know, if we have the concept that we go through life, just get over it when it comes to my conduct. That is part of a growing darkness in our lives. If we offend others, especially the young ones, those that believe in Christ, the Bible teaches us that if we offend them, and that's not just to be an offense, but cause them to offense, or cause them to stumble, to make them weak, or cause them to, you know, to hurt their concept of Christ and what he is, if we drag down their spiritual life somehow, that is an offense. It's an offense that we can cause. Do those things matter? Or did we notice the choices of our words or our music or the things that we look at, the things we watch, the things that are important to us? Did we notice how that led and affected and tempted others? Think about the idea of how our sin does affect others. We are sinning. Not only is it a temptation, it's a discouragement when someone loses out. When people are growing darker, when they are apostatized, if you will, going away from God, it's a tremendous discouragement to others. Do I notice, and is my life a growing contribution of someone that can say that I noticed the progress and the progression, and they're growing stronger, and yes, the thoughts were wiser and had a deeper and an obvious indication of growth in someone's spiritual life, or are they growing dark, growing cold? And did you notice those around? If you didn't recognize this in the lives of people, lives of as we look across our churches, the growing darkness, not because it isn't real and dangerous. It's maybe just because we didn't notice. We didn't notice because we didn't care. It wasn't important to us. All right, another thing, the things that I didn't notice. I've called this one the voice in the wilderness. The voice in the wilderness. And we looked at one of them that I had this morning in Matthew 22. I have down here. Verse 5 of chapter 22, which was our Sunday school lesson, talked about these people that made light of it, went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. One to his farm and another to his merchandise. And this was the response of a message. Come to the wedding. Come, it's important. Come, show up here to the wedding. And they made light of it. The invitation wasn't of value. They didn't care about it, and they didn't really notice. There's different stories that we can look at that, like this in the Bible, people that didn't seem to care about a very pressing message, a invitation, if you will. In Genesis 19:14, we could look at the story of Lot there. And the messengers had come and said that, Lot, take your family and get out, you know, at the behest of Abraham there in his prayers. Come, you need to get out. And so Lot was convinced of the thing, convinced of this story, and was trying to get his family to go out. In verse 14 of chapter 19 of Genesis says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Did you notice the voice in the wilderness? Did it matter to you? Here they were, and the message was, this thing's going to happen very soon. We need to get ready. We need to get out. This is an important message. Will you not come with us? I care about you. Please, let's leave. And I don't know. What do you think? What did Lot feel when his sons-in-laws responded in this way? You know, was there a desperation in his heart? Was there a helplessness to his invitation? What can he do? Here are these people. He is doing his best to share a very important message, and they seem to want to mock. Oh, there he goes. There he goes again. What's he saying? Well, they didn't seem to notice that he was serious. It was coming, and we can be sure that they were among those that were burned up. Some fell there on Sodom. John 12:37, I think Jesus faced this. You know, he did. He had this great message. He had tremendous miracles. This verse says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. You know, they didn't seem to notice, didn't seem to care. They seemed to care about his courage. Didn't seem to care about the desperation of the message. Didn't seem to be too concerned. They didn't embrace the ideas, but rather went on with their lives. Went on with their activities. Went on with their daily living. It was the farm and the merchandise. Just went on, and the message that was coming was one that was ignored. Just went on with their lives. We often see that and response to the messengers, response to the prophets in the Old Testament. They that killed the prophets, you know, they talk about that as an idea there in the New Testament age. And they were so sure they wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have participated in that thing that our fathers did back there. And yet, how in tune are we with the message? How in tune are we with the desperation that we read in Jude 1:23? It says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And that idea, you get the picture of someone who sees the coming fire, sees someone in mortal danger, and in desperation does everything he can. Come out of this. Get out of the fire. And you know, I hate the situation that you're in. Well, do you feel the desperation? Do you feel a oneness? Does it resonate with you? The voice in the wilderness that says, "Separate, come out, do something different. This is all going to burn up, and we need to save someone from this situation." If you look honestly in your life, does it matter? Do you feel that desperation that's there, Jude? Well, if we haven't heard the message, if we don't notice, if we don't participate, if we're not one of those voices, it's not because it's not there, it's not because it's not important. It's just because we didn't notice. It's one of the things that we didn't notice in the business of our life. All right, fourth point I have here is, did you notice the desperation in the crowd? The desperation in the crowd. And let's look at Luke here, chapter 8. And this is the story of the woman who touched the hem of his garment and was healed. So I'm going to read this. Starting at verse 43 of Luke 8. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Someone had touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Did you notice the desperation in the crowd? And here is this woman, and you know, we don't know a lot about her, but we know that she was 12 years into a very big problem. She had tried everything, and she was doing her best, and this thing was all-consuming. This thing kept her from other activities that she would have wanted to do. This thing was terribly expensive. She had done everything she could, and yet she was not healed, and she was in terrible shape. She just couldn't get there. She just wanted, needed help. Needed someone to help her, and she was desperate enough to try to go in here in this embarrassing situation and receive healing from Christ. He touched me. And Jesus turned around. Of course, he noticed. He recognized it, that healing had gone out. But what I wanted to key in on is Peter and the other disciples' responses here. And there they were, press of this throng and moving forward, and life was happening. They were going somewhere. They were talking about something, and they had activities and things to do, and lots of concepts going back and forth. And here they were following Jesus, and they were doing this, being a disciple. And yet here beside them in the crowd was someone who was desperate, was felt lonely, was needy, that was beyond herself with her need, desperation. You know, and it might not be, I'd say this, it doesn't have to be, it's likely not some homeless person who you see in dire straits, although that's true, that's obvious, it's aware. But rather, it might be someone sitting beside you, someone that's hard up, someone, your friend or family that you know, someone in another community maybe, someone who the things of life, the circumstances of life has caused them to, it's just sure they're desperate, they just would love help. And if you have been in a needy situation, especially something that's not obvious, you recognize just the concept of being alone, feeling alone. And or maybe feeling rejected. Certainly, I think probably rightly so, this lady expected the response from the disciples. Let's not bother. Let's move on. This isn't important. And you see that response. I mean, why are you making such a big deal out of this? You know, how can we find someone in this crowd? Why does this particular need matter? It's a little bit the attitude that you pick up from Peter, wanting to move on. And it wasn't just Peter. But here was Jesus. Stop. Recognize it. And help and give words of comfort and affirmation and healing. He wanted to be that man. Jesus gave us an example of how to respond to the desperate around us, those that are hard up, facing difficult times. So did you notice? Did you notice those that were sad? Did you notice those who felt rejected? Did you notice those who felt guilty because of some wrong they had done? Did you notice the loneliness of those around you? Did you notice how those who felt insufficient, inadequate, unable to handle the things of life themselves? Is that what you noticed? Or did you notice the dysfunction, the obvious failures? What did you notice? Well, if you haven't noticed the desperate in the crowd, it's not because they're not there. It's not because they're not there. It's because you didn't notice. Which tells us how important they are to us. Well, okay, then the last point I have here is, I've entitled it here, the fading light. Fading light. And this is kind of a way of living. Jesus taught us in 9 verse 4, it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And so I get the concept from there is we're running out of time. There's a certain amount of time, and the end is coming. And we need to be working, doing our best, pressing into the responsibilities and the duties, because the light is fading. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Are we redeeming the time for the things of God? Walk circumspectly, not as fools. The foolish is just, you know, they wander on, not aware of what's going on around them, but carefully, intentionally, the things that we do, are we doing the things of God? Matthew 24:37-39 says this, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came, took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And I think that this the life has a way of softening the intensity of the coming judgment. It has a way of, you know, yesterday the sun came up, and the day before the sun came up, and the day before that, and the world turned, and life went on, and the grass is growing, and it just, but there is coming a day. The sun's not going to come up. It's not going to be the same. Life will end. If you think about that, the people there around Noah, you know, what did they notice? What didn't they notice? They heard his message. Noah, that preacher of righteousness, the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. He had that message, you know, that there's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. And I suppose there's a sense in which people got tired of it. They heard it before. They're just used to it. You know, they knew where Noah was, and they knew about his project there on the dry land. And they heard it before, and I suppose generations of children grew up, and one day they were riding with their mom and dad or going somewhere or walking through the field, and suddenly for the first time they saw this big old ark. And I said, "What's that? What is this? What's going on over here? That's a massive boat. What's it doing?" And I suppose, well, that's Noah. He thinks there's a flood coming. That's what he's saying. He's been telling us about this. He's been there all those years building this. They got used to it. And there sat the ark. And there it was in the field. And went on with the day. They were marrying, giving in marriage, and doing all these things. And then, did you think they noticed? Do you think those people, his neighbors, noticed when he went into the ark? You know, I suppose there was a time when suddenly all these animals streaming by. You know, you think they would have heightened their awareness? Suddenly, this strange thing. And so then you notice there's Noah and his family, and they're gathering all this feed and they're putting it in there. And here's these animals, and look what they're doing. He must be serious about this. He's getting pretty carried away with his warnings, with what he's doing. He's serious about this life that he's living. Well, Noah had been saying that it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And he was doing something about it. He was getting that ark ready because he believed God. And finally, one day, the door went shut. And I wonder if they noticed, those people. There's no smoke at the fire in Noah's house. Everything's getting cold. And that door is shut. Things have been open for years, and now that door is shut on the side of that thing he's got over there. Did they notice? The change that was coming, well, work for the night is coming. Take thine ease, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And so the Bible teaches us that, you know, we are to be, we can discern the signs of the time. We look around us, we see the wickedness of this world, we hear the message that we've heard so often. easy for it to fade, so it doesn't become so important for us. But the encouragement is you know, the night is coming. It's fading. We're almost at the end. And are we ready? Did we prepare ourselves? Are we pressing into that? Is it important to us? Are we marrying, given a marriage? All through life. Life is just happening. And the fact that it's all coming to an end starts to fade, and we live like we're going to live forever. Jesus, we saw as he looked around him and he talked about, you know, he cared for them, how often he would have gathered this together and helped and shown the way, but they would not. They were busy with other things. Well, I don't know what you noticed this week. Just the fact that there's some particular track that fields have been fertilized, or the weather forecast was that it's going to rain, or it's not going to rain. And it's like, I don't know if you, what you noticed, or what you thought about, or what was important to you. But what did you notice spiritually? Did you notice? Did you notice anything? Did you notice those that weren't right with God? Did you notice your growing weakness? Did you notice the growth of someone around you? If we didn't notice anything spiritually, didn't notice the contribution of someone else, didn't notice the failure, didn't notice the desperation of someone beside us or around us, I think we just learned something deep about what's important to us. What really, finally, is driving our motivations. All right, we'll have some.